Okay, now we move on to my simple oscillator model, which is a simple pendulum that operates with a fixed length, a heavy weight, and it swings and it flows back and forth to the left and the right. The first thing to explain is, why do you pick a simple oscillator as a model for investments? A good answer to that is, or let's first say, most people use a model which is trend-based, bull market, bear market type of a trend base. Problem is that you find out that there really aren't any trends in investments, they're just oscillations, because there are very wide fluctuations, and it's better to start the model off with a oscillatory inherent characteristic. Otherwise, you run into a couple of examples that you don't like. During the 1990s, we saw a beginning of a very steady trend up in the dot-com space that accelerated into the year 2000, and somebody who adopted a trend type of a model would have been surprised to find out that in March 2000, all of a sudden that steady uptrend simply disintegrated and we entered a very severe decline. It's difficult to explain in a trend basis why you would develop such a strong uptrend and then have it suddenly reverse and come down. In the case of the model that's shown here, the pendulum, when it comes down, it picks up its maximum speed, and then it rises up against gravity, it eventually tops out, and then it turns back. And when it comes back, it retraces its velocity steps so that there's always a collapse for every run-up. So you inherently, if you look at the oscillator concept, even with a long-term trend, you've pretty well figured it's going to end at some point, and when it comes back against you, there's a certain symmetry in the way that the oscillator comes back in this particular example. The more important example, of course, was the housing boom, which is in the next chart that we'll be looking at. In that case, the destruction, which was much greater because that was a leveraged investment, it got into the banks, and the reason that the banks got into trouble is they used high leverage in a trend which they thought was going to last forever. If they had been thinking more in the oscillatory mode of operation, they would have said, well, if you sell a house to everybody that can afford them, and then to some people that can't afford them, maybe that's the end of the peak swing in the optimism side. And because this model tends to swing either side in equal fashion, you could say that the trend is going to come back against you, and it's going to travel equally ferocious on the contraction side. And of course, that's exactly what has happened. So that's why we use an oscillator model. The important thing about setting up a model, though, is to try to get it more exactly to fit in what you think the circumstances are. And so we then take that model, and we take the simple model, we jazz it up with some other considerations to get it to closer to what I think it is. And then we draw on those properties in order to say what is likely to happen, for example, in the next chart, which has the housing boom, or in the big channel, the 200-year stuff. We base that all on a simple oscillator concept, and we look for guideposts, behavior patterns, traps, and all that sort of business to help understand what's going on based on the model. You can never get these models exactly right, and there are some things that we can't get into this simple model, and I'll point that out along the way. The first characteristic of this type of a model is the unusual expectation that when you look at the energy, if you swing this massive bob that they've got here, so it's way over to the right, and then you drop it, as it comes down, it's going to pick up speed, and it's going to be very energetic right at the bottom because it's moving at its fastest velocity, and at least in physical terms, the mass times the velocity squared is the amount of energy. Then as it passes through and it comes up, it's going to reach a point where the velocity is going to go to zero. It appears that the energy is gone. However, what's happened is that the energy that you had when it was vertical and it was moving at maximum velocity is being converted into potential energy as it works against gravity. They call this energy swapping. The energy is always constant in the system. It's just that it's kinetic energy when it's going fast down below, and then when it comes up, it has no kinetic energy, but it has tremendous potential to come back down upon you as the process unravels. And then the other important property is it tends to swing equally on both sides. If you define the left side as optimism and the right side swings as pessimism, you'll say that this model says that when you get as far to the left, you're going to get a rebound, and you're going to get the optimism is going to be turned into a comparable degree of pessimism by the time you get back to the other side. In a freewheeling pendulum, this has to happen. It has to be equal in its energy states. The total energy is constant through the whole thing. It just transfers itself from bullishness to bearishness. But the maximum bearishness and the maximum bullishness are in some sense likely to be equal. That's the present problem that we have in the daily chart. There is a fair degree of potential energy or capabilities in that channel because we can measure it in the indicators that I wrote. The problem is we don't know whether that energy is going to be released to the bearish side or the bullish side. But we do know what the relative amplitudes are because I made the calculation of what the energy is using some formulas that I worked out. And that says, and the concept that the massive bob will swing equally to the right, to the left, around the equilibrium position is why the red dash band, and the green dash band are symmetrically located around the 55-day moving average. We just don't know whether the energy wants this is really what you'd call the interest in the market, is going to turn bearish or the interest is going to turn bullish. But we know where it's going to go. So since you're in the investment business to buy a low, then you're only interested in where the green band is, because that's likely to be where your maximum bearish interest is, and that's where you would define a market low. In an alternate theory of cycles, which T is included in cycles, you try to define a point in time that's a low. But when you calculate energy, it's just the energy has gone to an extreme, and that point is either a high or low, and you can tell the difference when you get there. But it's always symmetrically located around an equilibrium position, and that's why my chart has that vertical symmetry. You can see that, for example, if you go back to the November low, where you had the maximum vertical width in the channel, you'll see that as the market pushes the trajectory down deeper and deeper, the space opens up and the green line falls further. But if you look at the red line up above it, you'll see it's moving upward away from the center line. And that's because we're not measuring bullishness and bearishness. We're actually measuring interest in the market. In other words, you have a condition where market interest is expanding. That could be good or that could be bad. But it is true that when you make a calculation on energy, you only know approximately what the interest is. You don't really know which way they want to go on that. Now, to get this model a little more respectable, the rod that they have of a fixed width has to be replaced by a rope or a string that goes from the bob up to the pivot point, but the pivot point now becomes a pulley. And so that string goes up through the pulley, and somebody is holding it over on the other side, and that person can, by pulling it down, it can shorten up the length, which will increase the velocity, frequency, and if they let it out longer, it'll slow it down. So that has to be allowed to change the cyclical nature of the rhythm. In other words, we don't want to have a model that has a single frequency, because that's unrealistic in the real world. The But the key is you can change the length of that to change the frequency, but you can't change the energy very fast in the system. So if you knew what the energy was, which you'd make a calculation on, and you see that the frequency is increasing or decreasing, there is a certain degree of, you know something about what's happening, because changes in the amplitude cause changes in the frequency, cause changes in the amplitude, and that can be taken into account with the, within the equations. The other thing is that you're always pushing more. You can take the massive bob and push on it, which is to add energy, or you can get it dragging through the air or dragging it through water or whatever you want to, and energy is being pulled out of the system. But the point is, once you know something about the energy in the system, you can change these parameters, and for a first approximation, you can guess what the oscillator ought to be doing. You also know certain characteristics about the oscillator, and you can apply those to any situation you see, which I will now do. Okay, so that's the point. That's the simple model, and the model is under development. The one thing this model will not tell you is why the massive bob, say it was pulled over to the right, comes down to the equilibrium position, and then it bounces back to the right again. That has to do with this business of not being able to cross the black line from underneath. It's a resistance level. That is only found in subatomic areas where oscillators find that the energy, you can't release all the energy that's in the cache buildup phase. You only get half of the energy, or you get all of it, and the question is, which one are you going to get? And that's almost statistical and a coin flip, and that can't be accounted for directly in this model, but that's the limitation on it. And so you always have that half swing problem that you have to diagnose. Okay, that's it for this. Now we're going to move on to the housing, the Schiller case long-term chart with my notes on it. Thank you.